Welcome, family, to another episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast. My name is Matthew Curtis. Come with me on a journey through Scripture as we discover and uncover foundations of scriptural truth. We're going to put one hand on the love of God. We're going to put the other hand on the faith of God. And we're going to learn how to apply these wonderful truths to our everyday lives in Christ. This is episode 17. We've come a long way, and if this is your first time joining us, I encourage you to go back over episodes 1 through 16. Revelation is progressive. One thing builds upon another. You can't expect to get episode number 12 if you haven't yet gotten to episode 5. There's so much amazing truth the Lord has shown us and helped us to minister. So again, go back and get everything that God has for you in those episodes. Let's move on today. We're going to continue in our conversation about how to build your foundation in Christ. If you were a builder, and some of you might be, you might work in the construction field, you might have went to college to be an engineer, one of your family members may have been a builder. You know that for any building to stand and be successful and solid, you have to have the proper foundation. And so when it comes to laying a foundation, you can't just build something on loose soil, sand, gravel, clay. No, you've got to have a raw material mass. You've got to have a solid rock, so to speak. A solid, firm foundation so that when you build on top of it, whatever comes against it, your structure cannot fall. And that's who Jesus is to us. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, the scripture says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, the Spirit of God through Paul says this, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder." And that word master builder in the Greek is the Greek word architekton. It's where we get our English word architect. But the Spirit of God said, "I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. And now in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Father, we submit this word. We submit our hearts and our understanding to you today. We recognize we would know nothing unless you reveal it to us. But you told us, Father, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." We ask you today for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word. Father, we ask you for the truth that makes free. Father, we ask you for the enlightening of the eyes of our understanding. We ask you, Father, impart to us eternal life, nutrition, health, and strength from your word. Give answers to questions. Minister to those who hear this word today by your Spirit, O God. Bring them a substantial word that will help them in any circumstance they're going through, any challenge, and cause them to overcome, Father. And we believe that we receive this, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick side note here. One of the things that's important as a believer is after prayer, after you have made your requests known to God, after you have given Him your petitions, after you have prayed in faith, if you believe that God's heard you, what is left to do but praise and thank the Lord because you know He's answered your prayer? I can see how we miss this on a regular basis. I hear people pray all the time, and after they ask the Lord for things in their prayer, after they pray about something, there's not much thanksgiving, not much praising and rejoicing. So I don't care where you are, if you're in the middle of Walmart, if you're on your commute to work, if you're in the shower, wherever you are, why don't you just lift your voice and praise and thank God for meeting the needs of the people, meeting the needs of all those who are listening today, spirit, soul, and body. Let's just begin to rejoice and praise the Lord. Father, we rejoice. We praise you. We shout unto you with a voice of triumph because you've made us more than conquerors because you've loved us. We thank you because you've answered our prayer. We thank you because you're imparting truth and eternal life to us. We thank you because we're getting answers and help and strength today. And we praise you. We rejoice. Hallelujah. We are full of joy and we've got the victory today. And it's in Jesus' name that we praise you and we know we've got the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. We should rejoice and give thanks all the time, family. Rejoice and give thanks in the morning. Rejoice and give thanks in the noontime and when the sun goes down. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16 and let's discuss a couple of Greek words here. In verse 18, Jesus said, "And I say also unto you that you are Peter." If you remember from our previous episode and even some of our other episodes, we discussed how that word Peter there in Greek is Petras. And then upon this rock, Jesus said, that word rock in the Greek is Petra. The difference between Petras and Petra is Petras is like a stone, and this is Peter. It could be as little as a rock that you would pick up to throw at something. You know, in biblical days, when someone broke the covenant and they needed stoning, they would pick up a stone or a rock and they would throw it at them. That's Petras. At the largest, Petras could be like a boulder, okay? But Petra is something greater. Petra is something bigger. And we assigned a picture to Petra, and that picture was two examples. Petra, the city that I encouraged you to Google search, it was literally a city built into the bedrock. It was carved out of bedrock. And then the other example was the Rock of Gibraltar. And this is a jagged cliff face of bedrock, a solid mass of bedrock, continuous rock that is protruding out of the ground in a jagged form. And it's so huge, you can see it as you pass the Strait of Gibraltar. It's there protruding out of the ground. And again, I encourage you, if you've never seen pictures of these two examples, do a Google search and look at it, and you'll see what Petra is. But Jesus was not building the rock on Petras. He was not building the rock on Peter. Jesus said, "Upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church." And we defined what Petra was in our previous episode. We know from the foundational scriptures we read before we prayed that Christ Jesus is the foundation. He is the rock that our Heavenly Father has laid as a foundation, a sure foundation for Zion, the body of Christ. Amongst other things, Zion represents the people of God, the body of Christ. And so Christ is the rock, the Petra of Zion, the body of Christ. And also of us as individual members of the body of Christ. But what specifically is the bedrock of the life of a believer? How do you lay the bedrock into the life of a believer? How do you lay a foundation into the life of a believer? That's what we're discussing. Your revelation of Jesus, your face-to-face encounter with Him, that's the bedrock. It's not loose soil or sand, gravel, clay. Christ and your face-to-face experience, encounter with Him, is the bedrock. How do we know that? Because verse 17, Jesus told Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." What did God reveal to Peter? He revealed to Peter that Jesus is the Son of God. He revealed to Peter that Jesus is not just what other people were saying that he was. Jesus was comparing what the disciples said that other people were saying about him to what God revealed to Peter. Other people said that Jesus could have been John the Baptist. He could have been Elijah. He could have been Jeremiah or another of the prophets from the first covenant. But all those people were dead. The people were surmising that Jesus could have been a dead person raised from the grave. But they couldn't fathom that Jesus could be the Christ, the actual prophesied one, the Messiah, Emmanuel. It was too hard for them to believe that. But not for Peter and not for the other disciples. Peter was the one that was bold and spoke up because God gave him this fresh, clear revelation. And Peter was so sure about it that he went ahead and spoke up for all the other disciples. He was the bold one. And Jesus congratulated him for it. He said, "You're blessed, Simon. Blessed are you. That's great, brother. Flesh and blood. Other people didn't reveal this to you. Your mama didn't reveal it to you. You didn't find out from your neighbor. You didn't find out from the priest. You didn't find out from so-and-so. You found out from God. God is the one that told you and showed you that I am the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, upon this rock, upon this Petra, I will build my church." That is the foundation for the believer. Your face-to-face encounter with Jesus as your Savior. Your face-to-face encounter with Jesus as your healer, as your provider, as your protector, as your leader and guide, as your righteousness, and so on and so on and so on. That is the bedrock of your life, and that's how you continue to lay the bedrock of your life. If you know Jesus as your Savior, but you don't know Him as your healer, then you still have more foundation to lay. If you know Jesus as your provider, but you don't know Him as your protector, you still have more foundation to lay. There's more bedrock for you to establish as your foundation in Christ. And we can't build up, we can't build our structure until we completely lay this foundation. Oh, we can lay a bit of foundation and then give up or think that that's it. That's all that there is to our foundation in Him, and then try and build our structure. But we can only build so high. We can only build so strong. We can only build so much until we reach a point where we're capped. But I am endeavoring to instill in you by the Holy Spirit's help, the desire today and in the coming episodes. We want to build the full foundation of Christ within our spirit man, so that when it comes to fulfilling God's plan for our lives, when it comes to finding and following it, we go all the way with God. We don't just build our structure halfway. We don't just fulfill a quarter of what we were put on the earth to do, but we go all the way with Jesus. We fulfill everything that He's called us to do, and we finish our race with joy, and we are excited to meet Jesus, not ashamed and feeling bad because we wish we had more time or we wasted so much time. No, we go to meet Jesus face to face, and when we see Him, we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Enter into life and be over many things." Praise the Lord. Going a little further now, let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We'll read in the King James Version. "That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus," in other words, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, "and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." Man, I like that. That is not a future thing. That is a right now thing. If you believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, you shall be saved. You are saved. That's a definite thing. It's not going to be saved. It's not might be saved. You shall be. You are saved. And then verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, isn't that what Peter did? Peter, before Jesus even went to the cross, before he died and rose again, Peter believed in his heart that Jesus was the Son of God. Peter confessed it with his mouth to Jesus, and Jesus said, God revealed this to you. Jesus said, that was revelation, Peter. Peter believed in his heart, and Peter confessed with his mouth. Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us to see and attach to the previous passage of Scripture in Matthew 16. Remember, we're talking about how to build your foundation, how to lay the bedrock of Christ in your life. For with your heart you believe unto, and with your mouth confession is made unto. Two parts to verse 10. You believe unto something, and you confess unto something. You have to have both. This is how we build and we continue to build. Do you recall how in our previous episodes, we discussed how it's not enough to believe hearsay about Jesus? You must have a personal revelation of who Jesus is, what he's done for you, what he's provided for you, who you are in him, the elements and the foundational principles of Christ's teachings for the body of Christ, like the love of God, the kingdom of God, the faith of God, the goodness of God. These elements must be a part of your foundation and much more. How do you lay the bedrock of all these things as your foundation in Christ? You must believe in your heart and you must confess with your mouth. Just like Peter confessed that Jesus is the Son of God and he believed that in his heart because God revealed it to him, we must find out from the Holy Written Word. We must hear anointed preaching and teaching from our pastors and our anointed ministers, men and women of God, what the Bible says, what God says about who Jesus is, what he has done, what he has provided, who we are in him, and much more. We must believe that in our hearts and then activate that word, activate that revelation with our mouth by giving confession unto it. That is how you build and continue to build your foundation. That is how you lay and continue to lay the bedrock of Christ in your life so that when it comes time to build your structure, when it comes time to do what God has called you to do and build up, you can build up successfully your life in Christ, your ministry, your business, your family. When it's built up, it'll stand. It won't fall or falter when the enemy comes to test it. When this life and the challenges in this life come to test your faith in Christ. Your life in Christ, your building and structure in Christ that's built, your call will not fail. Your family will not fail. Your marriage will not falter. These things will stand because it's built on Christ, the bedrock. Remember when you were saved? You believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confessed with your mouth that God raised him from the dead. The Bible said you're saved, and you believed unto righteousness, and you confessed unto salvation. You found out Jesus is your Savior. You found out Jesus came to save you. In some way, in some form, in some fashion, that became real to you, that you needed saving, and Jesus is your Savior. Faith came as a result of the word being preached, and you believed in your heart unto something. The scripture said you believed unto righteousness. So your unrighteousness became righteousness, and your not being saved became salvation. So literally, Jesus became what he was to you. And as Jesus is continually revealed to you to be more and more and more, when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is that to you, then that will become part of your spirit. That will happen for you. If Jesus needs to be your provider and you have revelation from the Father that Jesus can provide for you and that He will provide for you and meet every need and then also give you abundance till it overflows to be a blessing to others. When you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your provider, then the bedrock of Jesus being your provider is laid. And as you continue to build and exercise your faith or exercise your confession that Jesus is your provider, then Jesus and the revelation of Him being your supply, of Him being your financer, of Him being the one who sees ahead and provides, that becomes more and more real to you and your faith in Him begins to grow. Not just because you're hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, but because faith is coming and you are activating that faith in your heart by speaking it out with your mouth. And that is what the Bible is saying, laying the foundation, laying the bedrock of Christ in your life. Do you want Jesus to be your protector? Then believe it in your heart based off of God revealing it to you in His Word and from anointed preaching and teaching and confess that with your mouth. What does that sound like? Well, Psalm 91. God is my refuge. I abide under the shadow of the Most High. I will say, hallelujah, are you seeing it? I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress, my God, and in you do I trust. Christians everywhere are believing what the Bible says, but it's not happening for them. It's not coming to pass for them because they're not saying it. They're not releasing it with their mouth. When faith comes into your heart, you have got to release that faith with your mouth into the atmosphere. That is what causes the words on the pages, not just to be something that you're reading, but to be something that's tangible, something that causes your faith to be made sight. As an example to demonstrate this, my wife and I bought a truck in 2021, right in the middle of the pandemic, and it was at a good price, praise the Lord, and it was a visionless Markov. It was the exact kind of truck I was looking for. It's got a 6-inch lift on it. It's a Chevy Silverado 1500. This isn't an endorsement for them, but many of you may know about the Tuscany Motor Company. That's where my truck came from. I didn't buy it directly from them, but it was at a dealership in Springfield, Missouri, and we came upon it, and it had the exhaust that I wanted. It had the lift that I wanted. It's a 2017. It had really low mileage, and so we bought it. And since 2021, we've been putting extra on it and making a substantial payment on it every month. We were even giving into other people's trucks as a way of sowing seed. If you don't know what sowing seed is, I encourage you, look it up in Scripture, what it means to give and to receive as a result of your sowing financially. But we were sowing seed towards somebody else's truck payoff. An elder of mine in the Lord, an elder minister even, we were sowing towards his truck payoff and giving an amount to him every month. And Jessica and I joined our faith together and we prayed the prayer of agreement that you can find in Matthew chapter 18. And we asked the Lord to help us to pay off our truck. We asked the Lord for all the finances necessary to make our payments. We asked the Lord for more than enough money to cause us to pay it off early. And so by faith, we started putting some extra on it. And again, like I said, we were making large payments on it every month since 2021. Now this is September 2025. Yesterday, our faith became sight. Somebody came to us and said they wanted to meet with us. And these are people that we know and that we love and that we trust, of course, not just somebody off the street, a random person. And they came to us and they said, we've had you on our hearts. And we know that you've been paying on your truck ever since you bought it. And we know that you're within a certain time frame of paying it off. And we want to let you know that it came up in our hearts from the Lord to help you to pay your truck off. And so we prayed about it and we prayed about it and we got it settled that this was the Lord's will to join with you and to help you pay off your truck. Now, already Jessica and I were rejoicing. We were praising God. We were giving thanks and shouting. But they went further and they said this. They said, we're not just going to help you to make payments. We don't want you to pay one more thing on it. We're going to help you pay it off completely. Now, what they didn't know at the time was that we had $10,800 left to pay on this truck. And in one fell swoop, the Lord dealt with these people who had the ability, who prospered them in one of their channels of income. They went on to say how they had this investment, this channel of income, and the Lord doubled it and increased it to the point to where they didn't just have what they were believing for, but double what they were believing for. And they were taking this abundance that God gave them, and they submitted it to the Lord. And the Lord said, help Matt and Jessica pay off this truck. And they said, yes, we will. And so they did, and God did, and we did. Praise God. We paid off the remaining $10,800 loan. Praise the Lord. All in one fell swoop. That is God, our provider. That is God, our supplier. That is God who gives more than enough, who causes our things to prosper and be successful, who causes our life to be fruitful and enjoy abundance. But you know, it didn't come by wishing. This visionless Markov of ours didn't come by wishing. It didn't fall on us like ripe cherries from a tree. We released our faith and we asked the Lord, first of all. But then, what do you think we did in the meantime? From March 2021 all the way to September 2025, what did we do? We believed in our hearts that this truck was paid in full. And we confessed with our mouths that this truck was paid in full. What I'm telling you is not a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. It's a real-life example of faith toward God. And it goes with our example of what do you want Jesus to be for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you have in Christ? Who are you in Christ? What has God provided for you in Christ? Believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth. Praise the Lord, and it shall come to pass. Just like your unrighteousness was made unto righteousness, and your confession was made unto salvation, our truck loan was made unto paid in full. Because we believed in our heart that God would pay it in full, and we confessed it with our mouth that God would pay it in full. And He paid it off a year to 2 years early, depending upon how much extra we were going to put on top of our monthly loan payment. You see what I'm saying? God paid it off in advance and in one fell swoop. Glory to God. Now, what God has done for Jess and me, He'll do the same for you. All you've got to do is believe in your heart what God said and confess with your mouth what God said and confess it as true for you. Confess it with conviction, not because you're wishing it, not because you're sort of hoping it'll happen. No, that's not the Bible kind of hope. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation that what God said He will do, He will do for you. Not just for somebody else, not just for somebody who is a better prayer or somebody who's a better Christian or somebody who's more favored with God. No, you are already the favored of God. The blessing of God is already on your life. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Go and read that chapter. You confess with your mouth what God said that Jesus is to you and for you, and believe it in your heart, and it shall come to pass. And these face-to-face encounters, these testimonies that God gives you as a result, become the foundation and the bedrock of your faith in God. And it brings you to a place where you completely trust Him. Jessica and I, we're at the place in our Christian walk where we completely trust God with our finances. We completely trust God with our family. We completely trust God with our ministry. And this faith in God cannot be shaken because it's founded upon Jesus Christ, the Word. Yes, we could get off just like anybody, but as long as we found our faith in Christ, the living Word and the written Word, as long as we found our faith in our face-to-face encounters and revelations of Jesus, we will not fail. Our faith cannot fail. Hallelujah. And your faith will not fail. If God can pay off our truck ahead of time and pay it $10,800 early, praise the Lord, what will he do for you as you dare to believe him and mix your faith with what he said and act on it with your confession of faith? Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for all those under the sound of my voice, and I know each one is believing you for something. I ask you to stir up their faith now in the name of Jesus. Encourage them. Quicken them on their insides, Father. If they've laid this thing down, Lord, if they thought that it's too far gone, if they thought that they're too old, if they thought that they can't believe for it anymore, that they're too weak or some other thing, quicken them right now in their heart and in their understanding. Remind them that they can do it. I encourage every one of you under the sound of my voice, if you've laid something down that you endeavored to believe God for in the past, you know in your heart what the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about right now in this moment. Fixate on that. God wants you to pick it up again. God wants to do that for you. Don't cast away your confidence. The scripture says it's got great recompense of reward. Hold fast to your profession of faith, the scripture says. Hold fast to your confidence. Hold fast to the beginning of your faith unto the end, and you will see it. Your faith will become sight. If it's healing in your body, if it's a problem in your marriage that you've released your faith for, if it's a financial situation that you could use extra money, extra finances, maybe it's a bill that needs to be paid, maybe it's a debt that needs to be paid off. Won't God do what he did for Jess and me for you? Is God a respecter of persons? No, he is not. God will do for you what he said in his word. So pick it back up and move forward today. Now, Father, I continue my prayer. I ask you, reveal to them what to pick back up. Stir them up to believe you again. Give them scriptures to found their faith on, Father, and lead them in the right steps to take for their faith to become sight in Jesus' name. And I speak over them. The favor of God surround them. The blessing of God come upon them this week. And something good happen for them and their families in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right, family, that's all for today's episode. We love you. We'll see you in the next episode of the Foundational Truths for Life podcast.
Hi, my name is Jason, and all of us at the Kingdom Inheritance Ministries family would like to thank you for tuning in. If you received from this message and you're inspired to give us your testimony, please send us an email at connect@kim.faith. That's connect@kim.faith. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 1513, Branson, Missouri 65615.